Are you a witch or are you a fairy? Are you the wife of Michael Clary? Up next, we'll be discussing the true story of Bridget Clary. And because this is a true crime episode, listener discretion is advised.
Sometimes
things are a bit off.
Align the stars with the bizarre.
The everyday that makes you say, hey!
This is Star Queen Paranormal for the enthusiasts of the strange and the extraordinary.
Star Queen Paranormal.
Warm welcome, little Stardusties. Tis I, your pan-dimensional poltergeist prom date.
Enthusiast of the strange and extraordinary. Space sheep wrangler and star duchess.
I am Exy, the Star Queen. And I heard a rumor from myself a few minutes ago that today's episode will be about Bridget Clary, which is more of a true crime story than it is a paranormal story. It's still a story that's strange and extraordinary. And what happened to Bridget deserves attention. Bridget Clary deserves attention. Because the manner of her death was not one that people should have to go through. That being said, if you are sensitive to true crime, this episode will have depictions of violence. If any of this stuff triggers you in any way, I invite you to listen next week. We're here to tell you stories, not stress you out. But welcome to my 46th episode, Stardusties! Some of you have been here for all 46 episodes, and I must say I'm impressed with your ability to endure this. Thank you, Stardusties.
And what better way to commemorate 46 episodes together than to give you a terrible tarot?
It's truly terrible.
Right. Let's get down to business.
This bit is called Terrible Tarot. Now, is it terrible? It is a short, sweet reading, and you wouldn't pay me for it. However, if you'd like to throw money my way, I have a Patreon. Patreon.com/StarQueenParanormal. I feel like it's only a good reading if you can hear me shuffling terribly. So here I am, shuffling pretty terribly.
That's the bit, you say?
And remember, kiddos, this is a collective reading, which means you can take what resonates. And the rest may be for someone else. That's a fancy TikTok and Instagram tarot reader phrase, so that if the reading doesn't go as planned, you can't say we're not good tarot readers. And your cards for today are 7 of Pentacles reversed, Temperance, and the Emperor. Now, I must confess, Stardusties, I can't remember if I do reversals or not on this show. For a very short period of time, I had a TikTok tarot page, and I can't remember which rules I applied to that and which rules I applied to the podcast. But gaze deeply into the void while I gaze deeply into your cards and do reversals today. Well, Stardusties, I'm seeing that the wait for the fruits of your labor is about to come in. Now, what's this mean? If you're a manifester, then your manifestations are starting to come in. If you have been working hard and you know that money is coming towards you or abundance of some kind, that is coming in. If you worked really hard on a project and you're kind of just waiting for the fruits of your labor to appear, you're waiting for that to come in. And it's very soon when it's time for that to come. The cards are urging you to balance your expectations a little. Be patient with your hard work. You know you've worked hard and you know you deserve whatever is coming in for you. This really feels financial. But the cards are assuring me that once the fruits of your labor have come in and you've harvested them, you'll have everything you need to be wise, balanced, mature decision maker. The Emperor's here, the Divine Masculine. Also a very strong Aries card. But the cards are saying that your hard worker manifestations, when they come in, will provide you with the right tools to come in as who you were meant to be. Someone revered and looked up to. And that was truly terrible. In today's bizarre headlines, DNA from Beethoven's hair may provide clues as to what made him sick. This article was published March 22nd, 2023, nearly 200 years after Ludwig von Beethoven's death. Researchers pulled DNA from strands of his hair, searching for clues about the health problems and hearing loss that plagued him. Unfortunately, researchers were not able to determine the cause of Beethoven's deafness, nor the cause of his severe stomach ailments. However, researchers did find a genetic risk for liver disease, plus liver-damaging hepatitis B infection in the last months of his life. These factors, along with his chronic drinking, were probably enough to cause the liver failure that is widely believed to have killed him, according to a study published Wednesday in the Journal of Current Biology. It is said that Beethoven himself requested that doctors study his health problems after he died. Study author Axel Schmidt, a geneticist at University Hospital Bonn in Germany, said, "With Beethoven in particular, it is the case that illness has sometimes very much limited his creative work. And for physicians, it has always been a mystery what was really behind it." And as stated earlier, researchers couldn't find a clear genetic sign as to what caused Beethoven's gastrointestinal issues, but they determined that celiac disease and lactose intolerance were unlikely causes. This reminds me of a very bad joke, and I think it's often attributed to the Far Side comic. When Beethoven passed away, he was buried in a churchyard. A couple days later, the town drunk was walking through the cemetery and heard some strange noise coming from the area where Beethoven was buried. Terrified, the drunk ran and got the priest to come and listen to it. The priest bent down close to the grave and heard some faint, unrecognizable music coming from the grave. Frightened, the priest ran and got the town magistrate. When the magistrate arrived, he bent his ear to the grave and listened for a moment, and said, "Ah, yes, that's Beethoven's Ninth Symphony, being played backwards." He listened a few minutes more, then he heard the Eighth Symphony being played backwards. The magistrate kept listening. Next was the Seventh Symphony being played backwards. Suddenly, the realization of what was happening dawned on the magistrate. He stood up and announced to the crowd, "My fellow citizens, there's nothing to worry about. It's just Beethoven decomposing." And I couldn't quite recall the best way to retell that joke, so that version was rewritten by Ma Puan Clem, MAPUANCLEM, on Reddit, under the jokes subreddit. Because XC doesn't steal a joke without giving proper credit. Are you a witch? Or are you a fairy? Or are you the wife of Michael Clary? Bridget Clary was born Bridget Boleyn on February 19, 1869, in Bolivadlia. She married Michael Clary on August 6, 1887. When the couple met, Bridget was a dressmaker's apprentice. Michael was a cooper, a person trained to make wooden casks, barrels, vats, buckets, tubs, troughs, and other similar containers from timber staves. The couple met in Clonmel. Shortly after marriage, Bridget went back to her hometown to live with her parents, while Michael continued being a cooper in Clonmel.
During this time of separation, Bridget gained an unusual amount of independence for a woman of this era. She was considered a professional woman, which was something that people weren't used to at this time. But she bought herself a state-of-the-art Singer sewing machine, and she was known as a dressmaker and a milliner. She also kept her own flock of chickens and sold eggs to the neighbors. Bridget and Michael, though without children, were married for 8 years, and according to Bridget's cousin on trial, Joanna Burke, the couple were on good terms, and she never saw them quarrel or dispute. When Bridget's mother died, the Clarys found themselves responsible for caring for her elderly father, Patrick Boland. His residence with the couple enabled them to secure a house reserved for laborers. Because of their affiliation with Bridget's father, they were able to acquire a really nice cottage. However, some sources say there wasn't a lot of desire for the cottage that they acquired. Rumor around town was that this house was built on the site of a fairy ring fort. Fairy ring forts are the remains of stone circles, ring forts, hill forts, or other circular prehistoric dwellings in Ireland. Folk tales associated with ring forts typically relate to a curse or retribution enacted upon those who would disturb or destroy the structures. Other sources claim that Bridget had been out delivering eggs to a neighbor, and she had to pass by a site of a fairy ring, according to local folklore. In March 1895, Bridget had been suffering from a serious bout of what is believed to be bronchitis. A physician visited her at her home. Her condition was considered sufficiently grave, so that a priest soon followed to administer last rites. Several of Bridget's friends and family members attended her over the next 2 days, and a number of home remedies or concoctions were administered. The physician expressed concern when Michael seemed to be refusing Bridget the recommended treatments. Michael simply uttered something about having other remedies to deal with Bridget's condition. The physician was curious but didn't ask any questions. He left Michael and Bridget to be. By March 16th, rumors were beginning to circulate that Bridget was missing, and that local police began searching for her. Michael was quoted as claiming that his wife had been taken by fairies, and he appeared to be holding a vigil for her, claiming that he'll do whatever it takes to get his wife back. On March 22nd, Bridget's burnt remains were found in a shallow grave. 9 people had been charged in her disappearance, including her husband and her father. A coroner's inquest the next day returned a verdict of death by burning. What later came out was shocking. Michael and her own father had believed Bridget to be replaced by a changeling. A changeling is a human-like creature found in folklore throughout Europe. A changeling was believed to be a fairy that had been left in place of a human, stolen by other fairies. During the final days of Bridget's illness, her house would be occupied by a number of relatives and neighbors, and there was a growing concern that her illness was supernatural in origin. Trial records would later suggest that the idea that Bridget was a changeling was put forth by a John Dunn, a neighbor who was known to be more aligned with old fairy traditions that were dying out in Ireland. But her father and her husband were very insistent that Bridget had been replaced, so much so that they sought supernatural remedies to force the changeling out. Both of them accused her of being a fairy sent to take Bridget's place. The court records show that on March 15th, Michael summoned a Father Ryan back to the Clary household. Ryan found Bridget alive but agitated. Michael told the priest that he had not been giving his wife the medicine prescribed by the doctor because he had no faith in it. According to Ryan, Cleary then said, "People may have some remedy of their own that might do more good than a doctor's medicine," or something to that effect. Bridget was given communion and Ryan departed, Later that night, neighbors and relatives returned to the Clary house. An argument ensued, again tinged with fairy mythology. Now, the sources differ for this part of the story. In one source, Michael repeatedly asked his wife who she was. It was said she angered him by asserting that his mother was the one who had gone off with the fairies. She stated she could see the police in the window in an effort to be left alone. Michael, obsessively attempting to get Bridget to say her name, tried to force-feed her 3 slices of bread. When Bridget refused to reply to the 3rd time of questioning, he stripped her, doused her in oil, and set her alight. He shouted that it was not his wife, but a witch he was burning. Another version of the story says that, as Bridget lay in her deathbed, weak and helpless, Michael attempted to force-feed her. When Bridget refused to eat, her husband and father drenched her in oil. Bridget was tossed to the fireplace to cast out the fairy they believed to be possessing her. Some versions of the story say they immolated her right then and there. But one of the most accepted versions of the story was that Michael threw her before the fireplace and menaced her with a burning piece of wood. He didn't intend to actually burn her. He was heating up her skin to drive out the changeling. It was then that Bridget's chemise caught fire, and Michael threw lamp oil on Bridget, hoping to drive out the magical creature that dwelled within her. The flames caught on her chemise, and she was burned alive. Michael's murdering of his wife made international front page news in 1895. But even after her death, Michael still fully believed that his real wife was alive and whisked away to the lands of the fairies. Of the 9 people arrested in Bridget's disappearance, all of the male members who had been arrested received sentences for wounding. Her own father only spent 6 months of hard labor, but her husband, Michael, was sentenced to 20 years for manslaughter. He only served 15. When he was released in 1910, it is said he moved to Liverpool and then emigrated to Canada. But was Bridget a changeling? No. Most likely not. Most likely her personality changed a little as she was dying of bronchitis. But in 2006, psychologists H. O'Connell and P. G. Doyle speculated that the murder may have been the result of Michael developing a brief psychotic disorder, which manifested as Cagra delusion, owing to the stress of managing Bridget's illness. This resulted in a shared delusion disorder that spread to the other family members and neighbors. Cagra syndrome is a psychiatric disorder in which a person holds a delusion that a friend, spouse, parent, or another close family member, or pet, has been replaced by an identical imposter. Not that that excuses anyone. But to this day, Bridget is sometimes regarded as the last witch burned in Ireland, even though she was burned because it was believed she was a fairy. And as the nursery rhyme goes, are you a witch? Or are you a fairy? Or are you the wife of Michael Clary? Do you have any paranormal stories you'd like to contribute? Any episode suggestions? Write to us at starqueenparanormal@gmail.com. Check us out on Instagram, Facebook, and maybe TikTok if it's still around. Send us some money at patreon.com/starqueenparanormal. Remember, Stardusties, cold iron is historically believed to repel, contain, or harm ghosts, fairies, witches, and other malevolent supernatural creatures. But you don't have to worry about that, as long as you remember that you are mightier than the monsters. Until next time, Stardusties, may your path be paved in starlight.